A welcome to all. Thank you as a congregation for last weekend and Mark and I both being at the youth rally. It was a wonderful thing for the 80 plus students that we had out there and the other 40 some that we had as adults and helpers and all those others that were there. It was a great experience. God blessed us with wonderful weather. And the Word of God was proclaimed. And that really is the reason that we get together. Yes, they're fun. Yes, they're wonderful. But the gospel of Jesus Christ was brought to our young people, which is exactly what Alfred and Estella looked forward to as they gave that place to the church. This morning, we're going to take a look at a text in which Jesus' authority is questioned. It comes after Jesus had entered Jerusalem for the final time. His triumphal entry, we think of it a lot of times as Palm Sunday. Well, that's Palm Sunday. But actually, it's just the week before the Sabbath before the Passover as Jesus rides in on a donkey. The people are cheering his name. And very soon after that, he enters the temple. And he overturns the money changers' tables in what we call the cleansing of the temple. He overturns those who were profiting from the religion. And of course, as soon as you do something like this, you now upset the powers that be. And so what we have today is the Pharisees and even the leaders of the laymen coming up to Jesus as he enters the temple again and is teaching, questioning by what authority he has done these things. And this is the problem, because they had not believed. They had not repented. They had not understood that it was through him that God was going to take away the sin of the world. That they did not believe the promise of God. But the promise of God was for them, just as it is for us today. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. Reading in Jesus' name. And I would ask that, would you please stand for the hearing of the gospel? Reading again in the name of our Lord and Savior. And when he has come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "I also will ask you one thing. If ye tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things." The baptism of John. Whence was it? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, "If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet." And they answered and said, "We cannot tell." And he said unto them, "Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But what ye think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not,' but afterward repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not, whether of them twain did the will of the Father. They say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, the publican and the harlot go into the kingdom of heaven before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots received him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Amen. Please be seated. Now again, the setup to this whole thing, and I never really understood it really put this together until this last week, as I was looking at all the way through chapter 21 and then into chapter 22, that all these things come right in the last week of Jesus' life and ministry here on earth. And so you get, first of all, I'm sure the leaders of the Jews all upset because all these people are now shouting Hosanna to Jesus as he comes riding into Jerusalem. They're all upset. And not only that, then he comes walking in and he turns all their tables over. He starts beating people and casting them out of the temple. Now, how many of us would like some guy showing up here and telling us this is not the way we're supposed to do things? We wouldn't. And that's really the point, because now the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the layman leaders of the temple at that time are worried. They don't know what's going on. And so they're going to go figure this out. And I think this is actually pretty neat, because they go to the source. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" So why do you now have the power? Who are you to go and to upset our apple cart? We've got this established way that we worship God. We have this established pattern, this list of rules that not only is written down, but is within our head. We have everything. This is the way this is done. And you come in and mess it all up for us. And Jesus, of course, being Jesus, does what he so often does. He answers with another question. And the question is very intriguing. And it is really within the question that we find out what Jesus is bringing to them. Jesus answered them, "I will ask you one question. And if you will tell me, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things." So he comes to this point and he says, "All right, you got this question for me. But I'm going to ask you one first. I'm going to ask you, and if you answer me, then I'll tell you by what authority." And the interesting part is he sets them up. He sets them up to the point that they know that they're in trouble. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? Now the interesting part about that is, for those who know the story of John, John is the one is Jesus' cousin. He's born of Elizabeth. He comes out of the desert. Again, we talk about the man who wore camel hair and ate wild locusts and honey. You know, he's the ascetic guy that comes in and he goes to the Jordan outside of Jerusalem and he preaches a baptism of repentance. That you would change your ways, that you would change your mind, that everything about you would change in regards to who God is. And he also points the way to Jesus Christ, where he announces, "This is the one who comes after me. This is the one who is now the Christ. This is the one whom I saw the Spirit descend upon like a dove." And so all of John's ministry and his baptisms and all his preachings were to point to the Messiah, to point to the person of Jesus Christ. course, most of the leaders of the Jews did not believe this. Again, it was something that they didn't understand, even though the law and the prophets pointed that these things were going to happen. This was all spelled out within the what we call the Old Testament. But they wouldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it because it didn't come the way they expected it to come. It didn't come and kill Romans. It didn't come and set them free and put Jerusalem now as the top kingdom in the world. It came through a man born in a barn. It came through a man who had no place to lay his head, who was a humble carpenter. And so, they can't believe John. And they can't believe Jesus. But that, as I said, they know they are in trouble. If we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him? You see, that's the interesting part. Because now they're in this quandary. If we say that, yes, what John's message was of repentance from sin and a baptism and who Jesus Christ was, the Son of the living God, well then, he's going to look at us and go, why didn't you believe him? Why didn't you follow what he asked you to follow? So they can't say that. So obviously in their mind, they're in this discussion among themselves. Well, we can't say that. That's no good. Otherwise, we've messed this up. And so they go on. Well, the alternative is to say, well, it's from man. It's just something he made up. But from man, we are afraid, the crowd, for they all hold that John is a prophet. So now we got all the people out there who have believed John, and they're the leaders, they don't. But if we say that it's just from man and John was nothing, all the people will turn from us. If you notice, both their answers are to this point is to come so that they can remain the center. That they can now be the leaders, that it will not take power away from them. And this is really the point. Because they want to continue in their position. They really don't care what God has said or what God has promised to them. What they care about is themselves. And unfortunately, this is the human condition. Even standing face to face with the truth, the Word incarnate, God Himself, the leaders will not believe Him. And in fact, what we will find out that they will do is they will plot and make sure that he is put to death. Because unfortunately, this is who mankind is, in and of ourselves. We have no use for God and what he has done. We have no use for what God has promised us. And we really, unfortunately, don't believe God. And it started a long time before you and I. It started back in the garden when Adam and Eve decided that God didn't really mean to kill him. But we all face death. We all face the time when we will either be covered on our own or that we are found part of Jesus Christ because we have repented and believed. But see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders of the Jews, they were so stuck in that spot that this is the way it is, and anything that may come different than that can't be from God. And Jesus goes on to really explain this whole deal. And he says, "What do you think? A man has two sons, and he went to the first son and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.'" An interesting thing, because as a son, and I pray my son is not this way, I was the rebellious one. I will not do that. I am not going to do it. And usually, after time, I ended up doing what I was supposed to do. But the point was, I wasn't going to just go do it. We had to argue about it a little bit, or we had to at least fight a little bit. And it's so true. And then you have the other son. And he did this, he asked the same thing, and he answers, "I'll go, sir." But he didn't go. And I think everybody's been in this position too. "Yep, I'll take care of that. I'm not going to do a thing here." You see, he covers both of the human conditions within this point. The one that's kind of, "Yep, I'll be the willing servant." When you talk about children and families, it's one of those things. It was interesting because I talked this week to a couple different people, and you have people that look at different families and go, "Look at their children, they're so wonderful, they show up, they're here at church," and yet, when they're out of church, I know this, they're not necessarily such wonderful angels. And the parents whom I was talking to were like, "Man, my kids never show up here. They're rotten." And yet, when asked to do anything, they do it. You see, you have this whole dichotomy in human relationships. People who are doers and people who like to put on the good show. So others think them to be good. And he asked the question of these two. Which of the two did the will of the Father? Well, everybody knows the answer. This one's easy. The first one. But isn't it that we would be very upset when our children, when we ask them to do something, say no and are absolutely defiant to our face? But what it says here is he repented. He changed his mind. He changed his action. And he went out and he did what the Father had asked. Now he's asking this question to people who would not believe him and would not repent. And so he goes on to lay this at their feet. And he says, "Jesus said to them, 'Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you.'" Now we wouldn't look down on tax collectors quite as badly today, although some of us would, as prostitutes. We look down on them that they would be the worst of the worst. And we're wrong. Because if they believe in the message of Jesus Christ, if they believe in the forgiveness through His blood, if they believe that God has sent His Son for our forgiveness, they're in. It does not matter what they have done. It does not matter that they didn't follow all these rules and regulations to get in. What matters is they believe the promises of God and what the Scripture has told us that God has done through His Son. The people He's telling us to are absolutely righteous in human terms. They follow the letter of the law. They read their Scripture every day. They go to prayer at the proper times. They make sure that they gather at the temple when they're supposed to. They make sure that they don't take too many steps on the Sabbath. They make sure that they don't get near those people who are sinners so they can't be defiled. They make sure they eat the proper foods. They do this all in their religion. Man-made religion is not going to get us to heaven. Going through the lists is not the thing that changes us. The thing that made us righteous is 2,000 years ago upon a cross. Those same men who followed all those rules hung Jesus Christ upon that cross, and He allowed it to happen. He shed His blood for the forgiveness of the sin of the world. And now He asks us to repent and to believe what He has done. To change our mind, to change our ways, and to believe that He is empowering us to do it. We have no ability, just as the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders of the Jew had no ability and no right to condemn others. For they too needed repentance just like we do. And He goes on to tell them why they're wrong. He says, "For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him." And that becomes the thing. Belief. Again, it's not one of those things that I can stand up here and argue. I can't make you believe. I can't make anyone believe. I can't even make my own kids believe as much as I would like to. It is a God thing. And so we proclaim the truth of the Scripture. And we let God do the work. But John came in the way of righteousness. He taught you about repentance and baptism. It's through baptism that saves us. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they believed. Those rotten people, they believed it. And even after you saw their change, you saw their repentance, you did not afterwards change your mind and believe Him. You ignored Him. After you saw the fruit of John's ministry, you wouldn't believe it. And that's the thing. Human beings, when stuck and not pierced to the heart by the Word of God, and are rather following a religion, cannot come to repentance. It is only through the power of the Spirit and the working of the Word that this happens. God knew who His leaders were in the temple. He knew exactly what was going to happen to His Son. And yet, He loved even them enough to allow His Son to come down here and allow them to have Him nailed to a cross. That same love is for each and every one of us. He knows who we are. He knows our hard-heartedness at times. But He wants to break through with the truth of the gospel, that you are forgiven in His name and shed blood. And He's calling to you today to repent. Repent comes with that big godly sorrow, but what it really means is to change your mind, to believe that He has done this for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You, we give You thanks for Your great gift of Your Son. Through the message that Father, through belief in Him, in His sacrificial act, that we can know that our sins are washed away. And that, Father, that we can know by Your power You have raised Him and us to new life. We ask, Father, that you would continue to make this real in our hearts and our minds, that you would help us to believe the message of the gospel, to believe that this is the truth because you have said it. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.